Hello, you made it to Friday. Aren't 4-day weeks absolutely wonderful? I think so. WBEN Arthur Pressman Traffic Attorney Time is 10 minutes after 3. And before we get into what it is I have chosen for discussion today, you do know that we've done quite a few shows on this nightmare idea of the radical left, which is in control of New York State, the electrification of New York State, right? We've done a lot of shows on that. And what did I say earlier this week? Remember when I said we really need to make sure that President Trump is well aware of what's going on in New York State because he has the ability, without Nick Langworthy having to call dozens of other members of the House and Senate, if President Trump gets behind something like the Energy Choice Act, then it should be okay. Pending, of course, any court challenge. But I know President Trump has posted before in social media about the electrification of New York State and how idiotic it is because it just isn't going to work. It's impractical, and you're already being screwed on your electric bills thanks to Kathy Hochul and the radical left in New York State. But go ahead, keep voting Democrat, see what happens. Donald J. Trump on Truth Social about 23 hours ago reposted a New York Post piece, insane energy policies are set to burn Democrats in New Jersey and New York. And let's read, shall we, together, the article from the New York Post. If you're driving right now, I'd appreciate it if you would not read along. You can just listen to my voice. Insane, I got to do the headline again. Insane energy policies are set to burn Democrats in New Jersey and New York. This is the New York Post editorial board. I'm sure the Buffalo News editorial board has come out with something quite similar, right? New York's state Public Service Commission just okayed big national grid rate increases that'll hike many upstate utility bills by $600 a year. $600 a year. Fueling outrage Democrats will soon feel. Downstate, Con Edison is seeking an 11.4% hike to electric bills and a 13.3% gas hike, largely thanks to green energy mandates that Governor Kathy Hochul embraced along with the rest of the party. The climate agenda is delivering pain we've long warned of in New York and in New Jersey across the Hudson. I presume they're talking about westward across the Hudson. Electric bills as much as tripled this summer and could cost Democrats. Oh, I see. They're talking about New Jersey here. Beg your pardon. Across the Hudson in New Jersey, they could have just said that. Electric bills as much as tripled this summer and could cost Democrats the New Jersey governor's race. Once they realize that Democrats' bungled energy policies are to blame for their exploding utility bills as well, it could blow November's race wide open, according to Bethany Mandel last week. Yes, Republican Governor Chris Christie shares in the blame for the Garden State's madness. But it started with the Democrats before him and accelerated under Democrat Governor Phil Murphy, who let the Oyster Creek nuclear power plant close in 2018 and aggressively shut down fossil fuel-powered electricity sources. Gosh, does that sound familiar? I think it does. New York's worst-in-the-nation climate action plan began under Governor Andrew Cuomo, but then Governor Hochul doubled down on closing reliable natural gas power plants and pretending expensive and less reliable solar and offshore wind installations could not only replace them, but make up for growing electric demand. Both states are using more electricity than ever, even as decarbonization prevented supply from growing to match. So more electricity is being used, but more electricity is hard to come by. Even without soaring power demands for data centers and AI, green policies that push ever more consumers to need electricity for cooking, home heating, and vehicles put added strain on the grid. Hochul's belated push for new nuclear reactors upstate comes too late to stop the crunch. Even clean power advocates admit the high risk will cause chaos for New York's power grid. Okay. Even people in favor of this idiocy acknowledge that it will cause chaos for the power grid. And it's not the power grid that's going to feel chaos. Grids can't feel anything. You, the people, are going to feel the chaos. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? Democrats who locked both states, New York and New Jersey, into this idiocy certainly should pay the political price. Murphy, talked about New Jersey, Hochul came shocking close to losing in 2022, and all the issues that boosted Republicans then remain. Now, Democrat policies are delivering soaring utility bills in both states, and voters will know who to blame. Now, if you're just joining us, this is a New York Post editorial, which was posted, it was retruthed on Truth Social by President Donald J. Trump. And why is this important? It's important because Congressman Langworthy is out with that Choice in Energy Act in Congress. And like a lot of other things in Washington, he put it out quite some time ago when it's just kind of been languishing there, doing not a hell of a lot of anything, because a lot of people introduce bills in Congress and it's hard to keep up with all of these things. But this shows that President Trump is on it. He is aware of what is looming for New York State, and he, by reposting the New York Post on his Truth Social account, this is, I think, great news for people in New York State who believe that you should have choice in energy. And basically, Langworthy's act, if it becomes law, would prevent states like New York from outlawing sources of energy such as natural gas. And again, I wonder if it is going to pass 10th Amendment muster. I do not know, but it may prove to be a respite until perhaps, although I'm very skeptical about this, the voters of New York State get a clue and stop voting Democrat. So, and I hate to talk like this. I really do. I'm not that political a person, really. I'm not. I'm not somebody who wakes up in the morning and sees clouds and says, wow, must be Chuck Schumer. I mean, that's not what I do. But the more I realize what this one party is doing and how absolutely wackadoodle they have become, it has become, the more I realize if you vote for these people, you're part of the problem. If you vote for these Democrats, any Democrat, and I hate to say this, I really hate to say this, if you vote for a Democrat, you are voting against your own best interests. These are people who say, my body, my choice, unless it's the COVID jab. Then it's not your body anymore. Kind of interesting how that works. These are people who say, trust the science. Always trust the science, unless it's chromosomes and gender. Then suddenly we can't trust science anymore. We have to go with feelings and enabling delusions. So I'm sorry that I have to say these things. I mean, I don't have to say these things. I'm saying these things because I feel as though I don't know what else to say about a party that is rallying behind illegals and criminals and just seems so incredibly out of touch. And there's a huge drift away from the Democrat Party into the Republican Party. People are leaving the Democrat Party. And that's officially leaving the Democrat Party, and they're becoming Republicans. And that doesn't count Democrats like, for example, my mom. My mom died as a registered Democrat. Hate to break the news to you, but I have some good news. I just saved a bunch of money. The good news is I don't think she voted for a Democrat since maybe the 1960s, with the possible exception of Len Lenihan and Robin Schimminger locally. Okay. So she was a registered Democrat, but at least, I'll tell you that at least in the presidential races and every race we ever discussed, she was voting for Republicans, with the two very noteworthy exceptions that I had pointed out. So anyway, the bottom line of the opening part of the show is President Trump is aware of what is going on in New York State with this electrification nonsense. He retruthed the editorial in the New York Post calling into account the Democrats, and by the way, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, but he don't matter to us. The piece is holding them accountable for your increasing utility bills. And increasing utility bills are only going to become worse. And remember, by the coming November, people are going to have another summer of even higher electricity bills. And this, sometimes elections, even in a state like New York, which I have to admit does seem as though it is solidly in the hands of one political party, that would be the Democrats. Sometimes if you kick people in the wallet hard enough, people who might not ordinarily have voted will come out and vote for something other than what they have gotten, and they will decide to make a change. However, it all depends on the kind of ground game and traction the Republicans can generate with whomever is their gubernatorial candidate. Love saying that word. The gubernatorial candidate. Will it be Stefanik? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But it's going to be a tough road to hoe. I will say that, to coin a phrase. It'll be a tough road to hoe. However, if people realize that, wait a minute, I'm paying $600 more a year to live in New York because of Democrat policies, and Kathy Hochul is the poster child, maybe, just maybe, some of them will wake up and make changes. Look, if you don't want to use natural gas, that's great. Go ahead. Go all electric. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But I think people ought to be able to choose natural gas. People ought to be able to choose propane. And for that matter, wood stoves. Let people choose. Let people make a choice. You believe in choice for some things. How come you don't believe in choice for this? It just seems like very elementary. And by the way, it has a lot to do not just with ideology. It has to do with practicality. If everybody electrifies, there won't be electricity enough to go around, and you're going to endure power outages like you have never seen before. It's going to be like living in Berlin in 1945 without the bombs coming down. It's going to be like Blackout City in New York State. But anyway, it's good to know that the president posted about that on Truth, and we'll see and it's not the first time that he has, but as this thing gets closer and closer to becoming a reality, and with the Langworthy bill having been introduced in the House of Representatives, hopefully some action will be taken on the Langworthy bill, which would stop states from outlawing energy sources such as natural gas and propane, etc. And that would be a good thing. Although I have concerns about a court challenge and some activist judge who believes they were elected president decides that the Congress and the president don't have the authority to make this kind of a law and continues what I would call the judicial coup d'etat, which is taking place in the United States of America. Everything's got to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court makes a ruling, and it doesn't really matter to some of these judges. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Anyway, it is 3:23 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But in light of all of the programs we've done on the electrification insanity, I wanted to give you that update because I did say earlier this week on several occasions that President Trump needs to get behind this. I do know it is a state issue, but President Trump needs to use his considerable swagger and influence to make the Republicans in the House and Senate fully aware of what's going on in New York State. Let's face it, if you're representing Nevada or Iowa, you probably aren't keeping an eye too much on what's happening in New York State. And Nick Langworthy is just one of 435 House members. So what's he going to do? But when you've got the president and his bully pulpit bringing people's attention to New York State, you have just made it easier for Nick Langworthy to say, hey, did you see what President Trump retruthed the other day, that editorial from the New York Post? I need your help to vote for people to have choice in New York State, and for that matter, New Jersey as well. So this is not a bad thing. Will it go anywhere? How do I know? If I knew, I'd play the winning Powerball. Anyway, coming up on 3:25 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and I wasn't even homeschooled. That would have been dangerous. So anyway, I want to get into that a little bit, if it's okay with you, my thought process behind the program. Basically, It goes something like this. You want to know what it is? Okay. I like to explain why I come up with these ideas that I do. And I love it when people call in and say, well, you know, Tom, you really touched a nerve with me. Like, yes, I touched a nerve. Yes, I was relevant for once in my life. So back in the 1990s, in fact, back in the 1980s, translation, yeah, I'm old. Been doing this over 40 years. Isn't that disgusting? Anyway, should I wish Alan Pergamon a happy birthday? Happy birthday to Alan Pergamon of the Buffalo News. I remember that because our birthdays are one day apart. So anyway, where was I? Yes, did some shows way back when, many, many years ago, on homeschooling. And the idea hit me with all of the back-to-school stories in the news. Hey, wait a minute. Kids who were being homeschooled in the 80s and 90s are now middle-aged or approaching middle-age. I wonder what they now think of being homeschooled and whether it was a good thing for them and how they're doing in life. So if you are a homeschool graduate or you homeschooled your kids, I kind of wanted to, I want to know, like, first of all, what it was like to homeschool. Because honestly, I can't imagine doing it. But increasingly, I can't imagine sending a child to a public school and frankly, a lot of private schools at this point. And if you think you're going to get away from the indoctrination in the private schools, I suggest you look at the textbooks. You're not. Sorry, you're not. It's the same crap with a different cover, basically. So let me give you the phone numbers to call. 803-0930. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, yeah. All right, we got Tanner Saunders in a Chicago mood. I mentioned that I get into these little binges of various performers like Nilsson. Remember that a couple of years ago? I was definitely into Nilsson, and now it's Chicago. And I'd stumbled across Chicago, just like I stumbled across Once Upon a Time in Queens with Paul Sorvino. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 3:37. Okay, so Tanner Saunders, speak of the devil, and in he walks. He has assured me that this is actually a show that I said I haven't done, and I really haven't done it. Because he claims that many times I say, here's a show we haven't done in a while, that he says, Tom, you did it 2 months ago. My explanation is not dementia or senility. My explanation is actually quite, I think, professional and laudable. It is that as a performer, I look forward. I look ahead. I don't worry so much about what I've done in the past. Unless, of course, I got something right. I look toward the future. That's it. Yeah, that's a retroactive grasping for a justification if I ever heard one. So the show that we haven't done, but I've been wanting to do, and the back to school week has kind of prompted me to whip this. I believe we've not heard from Cleavon Little this week at all, Tanner, and perhaps you would oblige me.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
I don't care how bad a day you're having, that line from Blazing Saddles, if that doesn't make you a better person for the day, I don't know what would. Maybe harumph, harumph. So the question is, those of you who are homeschooled, you social rejects, you failures in life because mom or dad or both homeschooled you, are you going to be suing your parents because they didn't place you in school to learn that there are actually five genders? I'm just curious. And there is absolutely no God. And if you mention God, you're a horrible human being. And I'm not the most religious guy in the world, but I do believe in religious freedom. Except for the people who knock on the door. I got an issue with that. But 803-0930, star 930, 1-800, I'm going to hear about that one. Star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm being facetious, obviously, and I know what that word means because I wasn't homeschooled like you illiterate bumpkins who were. And I'm, again, being not just facetious, but actually downright sarcastic with what I just said, in case you didn't know. Homeschooling. You know, This is one of those issues, and it's almost like electrification. I don't understand why homeschooling has always seemed to be an ideological thing. I don't know, and maybe you can correct me if you're on the left listening to the show because A, you're trying to convert me, or B, perhaps I'm converting you. Doubt that happens. But why it seems that everybody with whom I've ever spoken, who's actually been a homeschool parent, has been on the right of the political continuum and not the left of the political continuum. Because I would believe that every parent, right wing, left wing, believes that they want their kid to receive the best possible primary education. Yet it seems that it's almost universally a right wing thing or a religious right wing thing. Because a lot of people are not happy with the public schools. And I got news for you. If you weren't happy with the public schools in the 1990s, in the 2020s, you're really not happy with the public schools because they've gone off the bloody deep end. And I'm sorry, but they have. And so have the private ones. I'm sorry. Look, my daughter, you know, my daughter, looking thinner every day, I might add. She went to a private Catholic school. And I've got no issue with the school, okay? But I was a little bit surprised when I looked through the history textbooks at some of the stuff I saw in terms of content and presentation. And I thought to myself, I'm paying to get her an education, which is not a public school education. And yet here is the same crap, but with a different wrapper on it, a different book cover. Why am I doing this exactly? And I'm sorry, that's not a jab on anybody. It's just a general statement of my feelings many, many years ago. Of course, today she's a very successful young lady, and I guess everything worked out as it should have. And by the way, as I've mentioned many a time, one of the things that I told my kids very, very early in life is you do not have to think or view the world the way in which I view the world. Don't think that I'm forcing you to think one way or nothing about a given issue. What I want you to do is consider all of the evidence, consider all of the facts, and you may draw your own conclusions as to which quote-unquote side you want to be on. And this is before the divide became even wider than it is now or more pronounced than it is now. And they made the right decision, not going to lie. And frankly, Cassandra... my first wife, those of you keeping track at home, my first wife, when we got together many years ago in the 1980s, she was, how do I say this delicately? She was kind of on the left. Yeah, I would say she was quite on the left. Let's just say I think there's been a significant modification of Cassandra over the years. And let's just say I think she feels very comfortable listening to David Bellavia and Joe Beamer and her favorite ex-husband, her only ex-husband. So, Cassandra, love you, baby. Thanks for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. And yeah, is it wrong to love your first wife? I don't think it is. She's a great lady. And hey, she raised the kids and did a great job. So there. So anyway, homeschooling. Let's get back on track, numbskull. Okay, homeschooling. Should I call myself a numbskull or a cement head? I'm just trying to figure that out. Homeschooling. Those of you who homeschooled, I must ask you, are you happy with the results? Those of you who called me in the 80s and the 90s about homeschooling your kids, and you probably heard this much younger talk show host say, well, you know, I respect the fact that you're homeschooling, but aren't you concerned about the lack of socialization, the lack of interfacing with children of the age of your child? And you told me, no, not at all, because instead of socializing at school, they get their socializing with, for example, youth hockey or ponytail baseball, as the case may be. So no, Tom, you're wrong. Socializing is not really an issue. And then I said, well, we'll have to see in 20 years what happens. Well, guess what, gang? That time has gone by and then some from the 80s and the 90s. So if you did your homeschooling thing, I have to ask you, are you happy with the results of your home schooling? And why did it work for you? And did you do the entire school career at home? Which, by the way, I think is very laudable because, frankly, there are some subjects I think I can teach quite well. History, English, literature, German. I think I could do a very good job with those. And there are some subjects that I should be banned from teaching forever, such as morals and mathematics. Those two kind of go together. Those things should probably be left to somebody else. But anyway, it's good to have self-knowledge and awareness, isn't it? So anyway, those of you who were homeschooled, you know who you are. Now that you're not a kid anymore, now that you're an adult and you have bills and responsibilities, you may even have your own business, because a disproportionate number of people who are homeschooled are entrepreneurs. Did you know that? I've got some information I'll be sharing with you in just a few moments. But those of you who are homeschooled, I want to know how you're doing in life, because I must admit that for those who are in a position to homeschool children, I really believe in 2025 that would be the way to go if you can actually pull it off. And I don't know how people actually pull it off, because we live in an environment in which we basically need to have two incomes to maintain what would be considered a middle class standard of living. And here's a not so fun fact. A lot of Americans, the ideal salary is around $74,000 a year. But the realty people say that's not even enough income to qualify for a home in most states of the United States. And frankly, that is kind of scary. Almost 100 G's, all right? The three quarters of 100 G's, and you're still not qualified to buy a home in a lot of states, which means you got to save a hell of a lot of money, and you got to meet that 20% down payment, is it, to avoid the PMI. So anyway, I don't want to get too into the weeds on that one. But those of you who are homeschooled, I got to find out, what are you doing? Anybody out there listening who is homeschooled and is now a physician, homeschooled and you're now an accountant, a lawyer, you are a physical therapist, you're a registered nurse, you are an LPN. By the way, oh, I heard what's going on with that LPN program. That sucks. LPNs get a bum rap from a lot of people. A lot of people do not appreciate the education, the training, and the hard work that goes into being a licensed practical nurse. And that's not a slam on the RNs at all. But I think the LPNs listening to this show, I know the work you do, and I know how messy it is. I've never done it, mind you, but I've heard stories. It is a very difficult job. It requires a lot of patience. It requires a lot of training. And there probably are a lot of days where you say to yourself, holy crap, I spent so much money to become an LPN, and this is my life right now? Yes, this is your life right now. But you are appreciated by many of us. So those of you who have been homeschooled, now, contrary-wise, in all fairness, we may have people who are homeschooled who are ruining the day you were born to the parents to whom you were born. I can't believe these mental lug nuts didn't let me go to public school and they raised me like that, because I am so far behind my peers in every area of life, I don't think I'm ever going to catch up. We may have stories like that, I don't know, but I do want to hear from you. Those of you who were homeschooled and those of you who did homeschooling, are you happy with the outcome? And tell me, what made you do it? Was it ideology? Was it, I don't want my children exposed to the kind of immoral stuff the public schools are teaching? And this would have been back in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s, well before anybody was a transgender. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, this is back when we had two genders, male and female. Even among the trans community, you were either a male or a female. It was non-binary, didn't really, it existed, but it wasn't labeled as such. And I'm just saying, and by the way, I've got nothing against transgender people, just so you're well aware of that. But I do believe there's a time and a place for everything. And I don't think public school is a place for it. I really don't. I'm sorry. And I don't believe childhood is a time for it, or emerging hormones should be suppressed or enhanced or augmented in any way. And I think one of the big waves of lawsuits we're going to see in the future in the United States will be lawsuits against practitioners and parents who are accused of forcing gender changes upon their now adult children. I think there will be lawsuits. I think there will probably be legislation, at least in some cases, which allow those lawsuits to proceed. And if I were a personal injury lawyer, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'd probably read up on precedents for that and figure out an approach to take when the clients come to you. And I'll take my 33% contingency fee on that. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to hear from people who are homeschooled and people who did the homeschooling. And by the way, I am a graduate of the Kenmore Town of Tonawanda Public School System, kindergarten through the senior year of high school. And I have no issue at all with the public school education. I got a great education. I had great teachers. I had awesome teachers, okay? But considering I got out of 1981, that was a long time ago. And we had to walk both ways uphill to school with barbed wire on our feet just for traction. Okay, I think I told you 30, 40 years ago, I'd check in on this subject again in the future, and I'm going to honor that possible promise I made today. Homeschool. I want to hear from those of you who were homeschooled, those of you who did homeschool. What was the final result? What is your final verdict? Let's go to Williamsville and Carrie on WBEN. Hello, Carrie.
Hi. I'm calling for my daughter who homeschooled her children. And she had two children and she sent them to the public school, you know, kindergarten, first grade. And then when her third child was born, he had ended up with leukemia. So she was very concerned about him and taking care of him. And she decided that she was going to homeschool the first two and her child who was sick. She's homeschooled him now for pretty much, the oldest is 22. He's a registered CPA, just finished 22.
At 22, at 22 he's a registered CPA?
You got it.
Holy crap. Yeah,
I know. And he got full honors in college, didn't pay a penny because of his great work ethic, his, you know, how well he did in school. Because my daughter, who is a nurse, she homeschooled her children. So anyway, at 22, he's got a full-time job. The second child is now going to be a nurse. Probably in December, she's going to get her RN degree. She's 21.
Oh, my goodness.
They were homeschooled, all of them. The third child who had the leukemia, and my daughter took the time to spend with him, he is now at community college. He is learning to become a culinary, in culinary arts. This is what he enjoys. And he's 18. And the youngest is 16, and she's still homeschooled, and she's looking for a degree in animal science. So her children are very, very happy.
The CPA, I see practicality mm-hmm. and good income in that. Same with the RN. Culinary mm-hmm. is, frankly, hit and miss with people, to be very honest right. with you, and I'm sure your daughter understands that. But the animal science, what are we talking about here? Is that a stepping stone to a degree in veterinary science and a doctor of veterinary science?
I don't think she wants to be a vet, because my daughter, who's the nurse, she always wanted to be vet when she was growing up. I said, well, it's a hard job. And she just likes animals. So I think working, you know, with animals, I don't know what she's going to do. She's only 16. So she's got lots of time to think about it.
But Carrie, does that concern you as much as it does your humble host here, that maybe that's not a practical expenditure of time and money?
Well, she's only 16.
Understand.
I mean, yeah. So it's not, and we're very happy with our patient who had cancer at the age of one, a relapse at the age of 13, and now that he's found something that he enjoys doing, culinary science and, you know, working. He just started, actually. It was his third day at the culinary school and, you know, learning how to do all kinds of things, braising and, I don't know, whatever they do. He's happy. And to think that he's gone through two bouts of very heavy-duty chemotherapy, et cetera, for years, we're very happy with the culinary choice that he's made, and he might change his mind and do something else.
Well, you know what? If it's what he loves and he has an aptitude for it, there's no telling what the horizon might be for him.
Exactly.
And that's half the battle. I mean, hey, look, I had a professor tell me that getting a degree in communication was a mistake. I should get a degree in computer science. And frankly, that wouldn't have worked for me. and things kind of worked out okay for me. So a lot of it has to do with what you want to do and where your passion happens to be. So if that's where the passion is, he can follow his inner directives.
There you go. So you know what? You know, I used to, being a teacher myself with 40 years of experience in the public schools, I was at least at first like taken aback when she wanted to homeschool. But you know what? I've seen the results of her children that are well-adjusted. I had friends, did all kinds of curricular activities. I'll tell you, it just depends. You just don't know. So I'm very happy. And if I would probably do it myself. But most people have to have two jobs to work, you know, and to pay. So,
well, the fact that your daughter did it, and she was a registered nurse, I'm still trying to figure out that little magic trick of scheduling, because at least now being an RN is not very easy on one schedule. Carrie, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
All right, thank good you. Stuff. Bye, and I want to hear stories. I mean, look, if you know of a homeschooler in your family and you want to give us an update on how things turned out, I want to know. And I'd love to hear from those of you who were homeschooled. I did shows on it back in the 80s and the 90s. And by now, 2025, you are middle-aged. Congratulations. You made it. But how are things working out for you? And if you did homeschool, why did you do it? Why are you doing it now? Everybody's talking about back to school, back to school, back to school. Frankly, I'm trying to figure out why kids still need 2.5 months off. What, are they working on crops in the field? All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And at this point in the show, as long as we have interest, I shall talk about this. Many of you have called in over the years, especially in the 80s and 90s, to talk about being parents or a parent who homeschools. And now that it's 2025, I wanted to do a little report card from your children first. If you are a kid who is now an adult who is homeschooled back in the 80s or 90s, and you're now staring middle age in the face, how did homeschooling work out for you? What are you doing with your life? Do you have any regrets about having been homeschooled, having missed out on being bullied and annoying teachers? Or unless your parent was annoying in their own way, but these things can happen. Nobody had a perfect childhood. You'll get over it in time. So if you were somebody who was homeschooled, seriously, how did it work out for you? Any problems in life? Do you feel like you're not able to socialize properly? And that was, frankly, I must own up to this, back in the 80s and 90s, that's one of the concerns that I had, was that, well, if you're not going to school, how are you going to learn how to socialize with other people? And I don't believe the data and the apocryphal stories, anecdotal stories, match up to my concern, because every indication is, according to the data I have, that people who are homeschooled tend to be very well adjusted, probably a little bit better adjusted than the mean of society, probably happier if you consider well adjusted consonant with happiness. And there's also another factor, too, and I don't want to get too much into this right now, because I want to do a really deep show on the singularity and man and machine merging, because I'm fascinated by this. And I mentioned earlier, I finally realized at the Charlotte airport a week ago this past Wednesday that the singularity is already here. People have merged with their machines. The only thing missing is an interface. And you can bet that people at DARPA are already part of the singularity. They're already implanted with something that has merged their brains with the internet. Because remember, anything DARPA is doing now, 20, 30 years from now, Bill Gates will sell it. Because he's going to live forever on all the farmland he owns. It is 13 minutes after 4. So homeschooling. So this is a very intriguing topic. It truly, to me, it's a very intriguing topic. And I will tell you this again. I enjoyed very much my Kenmore Town of Tonawanda public school education. They did a very good job. People are saying, have you listened to the show, numbskull? They didn't do it. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. We didn't have the money for nickels. I'm sorry. But I'm happy with the education I received in the Kenton schools from 1968 to 1981. No problem at all. Had some awesome teachers. Absolutely sensational. But if I had a kid today, I would really think twice about sending them to any public or private school. I would be inclined to educate them at home. The only issue would be mathematics, which would not be my strong point, but that's where my wife comes in. Yeah, she's a mathematical genius. 803-0930, and an investing genius, I might add. *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Yes. Here is Norma in Tonawanda. Norma, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm really interested in this, you know, topic because my children are grown, and my youngest granddaughter's in elementary school in town of Tonawanda, so which is where I started my schooling. So yes, I had a good public school education, but now if my children were young, I would most likely try to homeschool them because I always work second shift.
And Norma, what would be, and I have to ask you, what would be your motivation for wanting to homeschool? If you could have a kid right now, and I bet you might be a little bit out of that window, but if it were possible, and you did have a kid, hey, look, I'm not in that window either. But as far as your motivation for doing it, what would your biggest motivation be?
Well, I think my motivation would be just to be back to basics, get all the political and personal preferences and just stick to, as they say, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, and science and just the basics. And what I find weird is my granddaughter, well, actually she's in middle school, not elementary school, but she never has any books. The only thing she comes home with are, you know, copies of things that the teachers decide, well, this is what we're going to do. So what are they getting? What information are they truly getting? Only what the teacher herself or himself decide is what they want to teach, but they don't have books. It's weird. And she hasn't had books out there in elementary school. There's no books.
I'm sorry. What grade did you say? What grade did you say that she was in?
Well, right now she just went into sixth grade.
Okay, well, then they should have books. We had books. I don't remember when we first had books, but I'm thinking fourth, fifth, sixth grade. We were always lugging stuff home.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, she has a backpack that weighs 20 pounds because, you know, she's got her water bottle in there that they let them have all day. They let them chew gum. They have their squeezies in case you get anxious. I mean, it's all this nonsense. But, you know, when she was younger and she would start math or this or that, I'd say, well, let's bring out your book because some of this new math, I can't figure it out. And I was always great in math. I said, give me your book. I want to make sure that I'm showing you the correct way that the teacher wants you to do it. Well, we don't have a book. What do you mean you don't have a book? No, we don't get books. We get a little, you know, copy of whatever page out of some book or somewhere that the teacher chooses. But there's no previous information that I could assist her with to follow the way they want it done.
I wonder if other family members of other students have experienced the same thing. Hey, people, have you also noticed that your kids are not coming home with books anymore? They're just coming home with pieces of paper. Could it be, Norma, that the so-called books that we think of as educational materials have been supplanted by online sources?
Well, I think that's exactly it. But what concerns me, as I said, is the fact that who's choosing the material? You know, it's not like you got a science book, you got a history book, and you went chapter by chapter by chapter. It's like, are they just picking and choosing what they want to teach and not getting to the junk you don't want to teach? Yeah, well, our country has a lot of bad history, but pick one that doesn't.
Well, I mean, the teachers will say that the state standards in many ways handicap them and tie their hands in terms of what they're able to teach and what they have time to instruct children upon. And I think, frankly, in many cases, I think the teachers do have a valid point. They would like to have a lot more autonomy and freedom, but they're kind of bound by the state, which I don't think is really a good thing, personally, because what's good for Manhattan may not be good for Niagara County.
Well, that's very true, because I don't want to say who it is, but I have a principal in the family, and there's just so many things that are not really educational related. I mean, she's got classrooms that have, you know, a typical classroom, but they may have three or four kids with behavioral problems that are taking up so much time of the teacher that it's taking away time from the students. And the new thought now is, and according to my granddaughter, who tells me everything, you know, if one of these behavioral children, or actually any child, has an issue, it's not their issue. It's the other child. Well, what did you say to her to make her cry? Or what did you say or do to make them hit you? It's not the other person who performed the bad issue. It's the person who got hit that is now the cause of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, generally speaking, when you have spats between children, there are two sides to every story, and there are going to be exceptions because there are bullies who know how to instigate and then say, me, I'm the victim. What are you talking about? But, you know, these are, to me, those kind of things are minor, except when they interfere with the ebb and the flow of learning. And, you know, when you talk about behavioral issues, my first thought was ADD. So an interesting interview with an Amish kid. He had no idea what ADD was. And the host explained, it's like, you know how you get that tickling in your throat? ADD is like a tickling in your brain and you can't concentrate. And the Amish kid was totally taken aback by this. And of course, the Amish aren't really big on vaccines, just so you're aware, which is what we may be covering next.
My biggest question, though, is for, because I know so many people in the educational field, and I had talked about homeschooling, but not down to every one of them. Well, how are they going to get into college? They don't have any, you know, they don't get a degree. So my question is, I'm assuming that these kids in homeschool still have to meet certain standards. Most of them, I think, that I've talked to follow a certain curriculum given to them.
Yes.
And so, and I'm guessing that they have to take SATs, LSATs, you know, all those tests to prove that they have the knowledge. But I'm curious,
That's actually correct. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Of course, they have to take testing. And the standardized testing, by the way, for people who are homeschooled, check this out. Typically, kids who are homeschooled on these standardized tests do 15 to 30 percentile points higher than public school peers. So the evidence supports, the scientific data supports homeschooling for better test scores. Huh. I guess it's maybe individual attention. By the way, the Department of Defense is giving way. We now, once again, for the first time since 1949, have a Department of War. Not a Department of Defense, a Department of War. Pete Hegseth says America will be on the offense. Alrighty then. By the way, I'm not sure what is going to be the Department of Special Teams. We'll see. Here is Jennifer on WBEN talking about homeschooled people. Back in the 80s and 90s, I did a lot of shows on homeschooling, and I was a little bit skeptical, to be very honest with you. But now that the homeschooled kids of that era are in middle age, I think it's good to find out. So how you doing now? Any regrets about being homeschooled? By the way, as far as our black brothers and sisters, if a black child is homeschooled, the standardized test gap between their peers and the black child who is homeschooled, anywhere from 23 to 42 percentile points above their public school counterparts. Hello. Here is Jennifer on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I was just calling in. We are on our 19th year of homeschooling, and I heard the topic was homeschooling, so I thought I'd call in.
Outstanding. Question number one, what caused you to begin homeschooling?
I think in the beginning, it was just the flexibility was really appealing. My husband over the years has worked some kind of odd shifts. And if we hadn't homeschooled during those early years, they probably wouldn't have seen their dad very much. And so just the flexibility to be able to spend family time together. Also, the educational flexibility to kind of put together a curriculum that kind of matches their learning style and to let them work at their level, whether that's, you know, right on target or if they're a little behind in something or a little ahead. I think all of that kind of really appealed to us.
Jennifer, would you address, please, the whole diploma thing and the college admission thing with respect to the standardized tests?
Yes, yes. There are actually three ways for a homeschooler in New York to demonstrate high school completion to colleges, to future employers, for the purposes of financial aid in New York State. So the first way is that they can appeal to their district for a letter of completion. And as long as they've completed all of their paperwork, and everything they need to do along the way. The district will issue what's called a letter of equivalency, and that serves basically as a diploma, like for the purposes of college application and all of those things. They can take the GED, or they can complete 24 hours of college credit courses during high school. There's a couple schools like GCC and CCC, and they offer programs where homeschoolers can take courses at a discounted rate, and they can basically get their associate's degree while they're still in high school.
Okay, so did you hear the call earlier? I'm going to keep you until after the news break, so don't go anywhere, okay? Because I love this topic, and I owe you this topic, and I'm getting tongue-tied because I get so excited. Sorry about that. It's like a revisit of my old stuttering issue. Yeah, if you're a stutterer, hey, I can relate. Trust me. It wasn't severe, but it was at least a pretty good stammer, and you just heard a little bit of it right there. Well, actually, school is just beginning. Back to school week in Western New York, which got me to thinking about home schooling. And back in the 80s and 90s, did a lot of shows on homeschooling. And now those kids who were little and tiny, little pilgrims off to learning shrine in the family room, they're now middle age. How do things work out for you? And who homeschools and why do you homeschool? And frankly, if I had a kid now and I could pull it off, I would be inclined to homeschool. And I would do so because I have a great faith in my ability to instruct kids in what they need to know, at least in most areas, with the exception of mathematics. I'd probably bring in an expert on mathematics, although the statistics part I'd handle myself. It's really weird. How can I be so bad at geometry and so good at statistics? I have no idea. It's a great gulf in my ability to learn. Here is Jennifer in Kenmore, who is a homeschooling person, who's giving us a little behind the scenes in homeschooling. And as far as the socialization, I want to get back into that, because one of my rubs against homeschooling historically, when this came up in the 80s and 90s, I had concerns about whether kids were missing out on the opportunity to socialize with other children. I no longer have that concern because data have proven it is unfounded.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty large and vibrant homeschool community in our area, and there's lots of opportunity for kids to get together, whether it's in classes or co-ops or swimming gyms at the local YMCA. And I think homeschool kids, just like every other kid, they make friends aside from school as well. They might meet kids in their neighborhood or in activities or in church. And so for us, that was kind of always the focus, was making sure that our kids had a couple of good friends that they could get together with. But we always also did activities and co-ops and things like that, but helping them to kind of really develop those friendships so that they weren't lacking. And that was always a focus of ours.
You know, I want to bounce something off of you and get your take on it. And I'm sure people listening, you might know somebody like my wife, but my wife has a theory that one of the best ways to have a successful child is to surround that child with five successful adults. And the child, through some assimilation and osmosis, will probably be able to perceive why successful, well-adjusted adults are, in fact, that way.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, with homeschooling, I think a lot of people think that when you homeschool, you're kind of, your kids are at home with you all day. And some families are like that. But us and a lot of other families outsource a lot of things. So we did surround our kids with a lot of other mentors and teachers. It's funny because you said that with homeschooling, your biggest concern would be math. And that was my biggest concern because I failed geometry. I'm not math minded. I was really worried.
At least you
about
stuck with it. I dropped out. I dropped out of geometry. I'm serious. I did.
And
then at UB, I just crushed statistics.
My mother made me take it.
Yeah. My parents soon learned that math wasn't my bag, baby.
No, well, and the funny thing is that I was concerned with that when we first started homeschooling. We started in 2007, and maybe I overdid it a little bit in the early years because I did feel like I was lacking in my ability to teach that. But my son actually ended up going on to get a mathematics degree in college, and he works in the math field now. So So it all worked out.
Well, I guess so. So as far as the results of homeschooling, this is something that is, I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? Mm-hmm. The results of homeschooling. Tell us about the results you have achieved, because earlier today we had a call from somebody whose grandkids were homeschooled, and the one mm-hmm. is a CPA in his early 20s. The other is an RN in her early 20s. The other is studying culinary stuff. And then the 16-year-old is currently interested in getting a degree in animal science, I believe it is. But that might change because she's 16.
Yeah. I think that one of the great things about homeschooling is that you can kind of really feel out where your kids' interests lie. So you can really kind of tailor their education to that. So our son knew early on that math was the interest. So he ended up going to the gifted math program through UB. He went on to Canisius to study mathematics and economics, and he's currently graduated and working as a financial analyst with a local life or the local insurance company. So
now, financial analyst sounds kind of fancy. It's like the old bank vice president. Is the money commensurate with the title?
Yes, he has a pretty decent starting salary. Yeah, so he's doing well. He's paid off. He paid off his college. He didn't have much debt from college, but he's got it all paid off. He bought himself a car. He's got friends. He got a girlfriend. He's got all those kinds of things. He does well at his job. So I would say he turned out okay. He's 24 or 23 currently. Sorry, 23.
Oh, that's okay. I'm 62, so I'm entitled to forget my age conveniently. It's okay. I get it.
So yeah, so I would say for 23, he's doing okay. And our younger son is 13, and he's going into eighth grade, so we're still homeschooling him.
Just out of curiosity, the financial analyst, did he always have a business sense? And I'm asking that because one of the things I found out when I was doing my show prep is a disproportionate number of people who were homeschooled actually became entrepreneurs.
I think that when he first went into college, the intention was he wanted to be an actuary. He actually took the first two actuary exams, but then when he started kind of looking for a job, the financial analyst position was open, so he kind of took it to be able to get his foot in the door somewhere and get some experience. But he also found that with an actuary position, it would be a lot more desk work, computer work, and he likes talking with people and working with other people, and the job that he has now has a little bit more of that. So it's just kind of, when he started college, he was dead set on actuary, but that kind of changed as he went through school and got out into the workforce.
Well, actually, being an actuary, and I realize this is not what he's doing now, but being an actuary is one of the careers in which people report some of the highest job satisfaction. And this is a longitudinal study. This is over many, many years. Actuaries, it is a very in-demand job, and it's also one in which people find a great deal of satisfaction.
Yeah, and he could still go back to that. He does, like I said, he has the first two exams under your belt. And usually if you have those first two exams, you can get a job in the field. There's not a lot of actuary jobs, especially in our area. It's a trickier field, but he could maybe once he gets a little more experience, you know, in the workforce, could definitely go into that. I think he picked it because at the time he knew he wanted to do math. He didn't want to teach, and he wanted something that had a relatively decent salary, and so he picked actuary. And he's very logical. He's very, that's the way his brain is, very risk reward minded. So he definitely would be a good fit for that job.
Absolutely. And, it's kind of funny because as I have gained life experience, one of the things that I will always do is a risk benefit analysis of every decision that I make of any consequence.
Right. That's
so maybe inside of me, maybe there's an inner actuary. Perhaps I missed my calling, but it's a little late now. I think that boat may have already sailed. Is there anything that you wanted to say about homeschooling that I did not specifically ask you that you believe is the most common question or concern people have brought to you as a veteran homeschooler about whether or not they should embark upon this course?
I mean, I think that the most common is probably the socialization thing. I think that's probably the thing that we get, asked most often. But I think that a lot of parents think that they can't do it because they don't have a teaching degree. And I by no means am under the impression that I could walk into a classroom and teach a classroom full of children, because that's a completely different skill set.
Sure it is.
But I, you know, I have confidence that I can teach my own kids, and it's not always easy. It's definitely, it's a commitment. It's your time. It's your money. It's, you know, it's, you could be working, I could be working outside of the home, but I'm homeschooling the kids. So it's definitely a commitment that you need to make. But overall, I think I always tell my husband what I take most from it is that I will never say that I didn't spend enough time with my kids. Like, I really got to be involved with their upbringing and their education, and it's just really been a great experience for us.
Very, very cool. Jennifer, I appreciate the phone call, and I hope other parents who have homeschooled or who are homeschooling call in while we're doing this topic, and also people who were homeschooled, because those are the people from whom I really want to hear today, the people who were homeschooled like your son, because they were the people that back in the 80s and 90s, you were calling into the show. You probably weren't even born then. You were calling into the show talking about homeschooling your kid, and I wasn't sold on the idea, but I am now.
Oh, good. Well, good. That's good.
No, I am. Well, because
I hope that it leaves a positive impression on your listeners.
I will say something that will make your son proud of me, and that is the data support being in favor of homeschooling, because homeschooled students do better in college, a higher graduation rate, they are more forgiving of other people, and they are generally more successful.
I will say that he, you know, he graduated, he, like I said, he graduated and went out of college, and he did standardized test score wise. He took the SAT once, he got a 1580, so he was fine with that. That all kind of worked out, and I think that, I mean, it's a smaller group, so it's difficult to compare homeschoolers to public schoolers, because it's, you know, demographically such a smaller kind of sample size. But as far as I know, the homeschoolers that we've known, they've all, you know, they've done well, and they all do it differently. Some are more structured, some are more unschooly, and, you know, everybody does it a different way. But it seems to, I think that when your priority is providing your kids the best education you can, that it can't go wrong.
Indeed. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Jennifer. Talking about homeschooling. Hey, it was back to school this week. And I saw some stories about homeschooling, for example, in New Jersey, where the state of New Jersey is now going to become more involved in homeschooling and curriculum. And meanwhile, in I think it's Washington State, they're not calling it sex education, but kindergartners may be expected to identify 3 of 4 genders by the time they get out of kindergarten. I'm sorry, in kindergarten, did you even know how to properly cleanse yourself? Yeah, I don't think so. In kindergarten, I was still picking my nose. I only do that now at red lights. Here's Randy in Forestville on WBEN. Randy, hello.
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
I was one of the people who would have called into you back in the 80s and 90s with my son. He's now 40 years old, and I am your age.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. But we made it. We made it.
Yeah, and I went and talked to my friends over there at the financial guys to say, yeah, the way Social Security is set up, you really can't collect until you're 67. I'm like, oh, darn it. I have to keep on working.
That is absolutely correct, because at 67, you get 100% of what your maximum benefit will be. Every year before 67, you are taking a hit. Now, a lot of it is, look, it's I know this is not why you called in, but I prepare on a lot of different subjects every day. But you also have to consider, what is your expected lifespan, the kind of lifestyle you want to have. And in addition to Social Security, you have to consider your private investments in your 401k, whether it is a Roth or whatever, and any other assets you may have, and your ability to achieve liquidity from those assets. Do I sound like I should be on the Financial Guys radio show?
Yeah, that's basically what he told me. He says, just looking over what you got, you're going to get nothing. Between now and 67, you will collect $0. However, you will collect less when you do hit 67. That didn't make much sense. So anyway, back to my son.
Randy, that sucks. And the other thing that sucks, by the way, is you have to work until you're 67. You're eligible for Medicare at 65, but if you retire at 62, 63, 64, you've got to get that bridge health insurance before Medicare. And it's really weird how when you get older, these things that sounded like old people talk when you were 18 suddenly become relevant. Now that we've gotten our old man talk out of the way, how are your knees and your hip, Randy? lady, and get off my lawn. Let's compare our electric bills.
My back and my foot.
Your back and your foot. All right. So talk to us about your homeschooling experience and how your child is doing.
Well, we'll set it up kind of quickly. My son was a gifted student, and we wound up taking him at the age of 9 up to Nichols to have him tested to see if he could go to Nichols. So they said academically he's at like a 10th grade level at the age of 9, but yeah, they says, well, we don't really have anything we can do. So that previous lady had mentioned the GMP program at UB, gifted math program. And we took him up there, and they said, oh, yeah, he qualifies. It's set up for 12-year-olds, but they let him in at 9. But there was really nothing that our local school could do with him. I could see clearly back then it was going to be a disaster. And I could do a 3-hour program with you on just that. But so we pulled him out of school, and we decided to homeschool. It was a difficult decision because my wife worked at Collins Correctional, and I was an over-the-road truck driver. Not an easy thing to homeschool a 9-year-old when you're both I'm gone for days at a time, and she's working in a prison all day.
Must be a self-starter, that kid.
Yeah, he is. He was at home. He would leave him with friends and whatnot when necessary, and family when he got a little bit older. But ultimately, our local minister at the Methodist Church worked for the admissions department down at Fredonia State, and she got to know him and said, "Yeah, I want to introduce him to the." Dean of Admissions down at Fredonia. They did some testing. So at 12, they started him at Fredonia State. So we homeschooled him, but of course we had the help of him going to Fredonia State then. So we did 3 years at UB just for math, but everything else we had to do ourselves. But we did things like take him to Gettysburg. Like, you want to learn about Gettysburg? Great, I'll take you there. And we go spend 3 or 4 or 5 days at Gettysburg. You'll learn a lot more about the Civil War spending 5 days in Gettysburg than you will reading books the rest of your life.
Correct.
So we did stuff like that. We would go places and try to integrate real life into education. So we went to Fredonia State. He got a degree in recombinant gene technology. We kept him there an extra year because he was only 16 when he would have graduated. So he says, stay another year. And then he went on to UB and got a PhD in microbiology. Went on to a girl he met there, much older than him, but they hit it off as good friends. And by the way, the socialization, he's 100 times more social than I'll ever be. He's got 1 million friends. They travel all over the world together. They'll fly
good
to
Lord.
Belgium and meet up with people and do a week in Belgium just for fun.
What this kid sounds remarkable, and it's very interesting because so many times, I mean, I can't imagine what this kid's IQ is, probably 180 to 200. Am I in the ballpark?
That's what they tested him at, yes.
Okay, so I figured, a lot of times that kind of IQ score can be both a blessing and a curse because, unfortunately, there are people who are as smart as your son who don't find their way in the world because it's almost as though they feel as though they're too good to work, as though the world owes them a living, and that is very unfortunate.
No, he's the opposite. He's got a farmer's work ethic.
See that, Randy. That's remarkable. You got to be very proud of your son, and you got to wonder how much of that is because he was homeschooled and his talents were allowed to flourish without being muffled by a strict curriculum, and how much was his innate genius. So, Randy, well, obviously, he got it from his mother. Right? Is that correct? That's what I hear.
Oh, you knew that already, didn't you?
hold on, if you want to finish the conversation, Randy. Wow. That's an amazing story. And look, do you know people who are extremely high IQ who basically don't ever amount to anything because they just can't ever seem to hold a job or want to work for anybody? I think a high IQ is great, but I think a high I will is, if not equally, possibly even more important. And that's not to diss anybody with a high IQ because I'm incredibly jealous because I am pretty stupid. All right, welcome to the show. It is Bowerly. Happy Friday. Big doings this weekend in Buffalo and Western New York, especially Orchard Park. Anyway, WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 11 minutes after 5. And right now, talking about home schooling. Hey, back to school this week. Most people think of back to school in a certain way, but I was thinking about back to school for people who are homeschooled. And I was thinking about the shows we did in the 80s and 90s on homeschooling. And I thought, geez, you know, those kids now are going to be middle-aged. And I wonder how homeschooling worked out for them. So how did it work out for them? And the socialization argument that I had made many years ago actually is invalid. And the longitudinal data prove that the homeschooled people are actually probably better socially adjusted than the their peers who went to more traditional educational institutions. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let us get back to Randy in Forestville, who is the father of a super genius. So, Randy, I must ask, obviously your son was born, I believe, with a super high IQ. Do you believe that IQ and his interests would have been allowed to flourish as much in a traditional learning environment as they did in your homeschooling situation, despite the fact that your wife is a CEO and you were an over-the-road truck driver?
Of course not. That was the big point I wanted to make with this is I think there's a lot of kids. They might not be at his level because he's unique. There's a lot of really smart kids in schools. Government schools are not built for high achievers. They're built for people who can comply with government orders. As that previous lady said, she can teach her children or grandchildren, but a classroom of 20 or 25 people is a completely different animal. They have to teach to the to a lower common denominator. There's unbelievable amount of money spent on kids who need additional help if they're on the other end. If they're struggling to learn, we'll spend unlimited amount of money, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but there's essentially nothing. We actually had our principal, you know, when my wife finally agreed we got to pull him out, is he said, don't worry, we know how to slow him down. That was their answer to him being advanced beyond everybody else in the class, because he was a troublemaker, just like I was in school. They might give a kid, say, 15 minutes worth of work when you're 8 years old. Well, he could finish it in 2 minutes. Now you expect an 8-year-old to sit still and behave himself for 13 minutes. Not going to happen.
Randy, I just have one. I have one more question. I have one more question before we let you go. And I kind of joked about, obviously, the intelligence came from mom. But as you look back in your family tree and your ancestry, do you believe that high IQ and high achievement runs in your family? Is there a genetic component to this that we can maybe isolate and sell?
Yeah, I believe there is a strong genetic component. My father was also extremely smart. But he was kind of like the guy that you said. His life just never went super smooth. He passed away a few years ago, but you know, just he didn't cope with it as well. But on the socialization, yeah, my son, he went off got his degree at UB, went on to Washington D.C. and went to work for Fauci because his specialty was immunology.
Oh,
where he met his now wife, and they moved to Wisconsin, and I've mentioned that on the program before. He lives in Wisconsin. He's super social, has a lot of friends, does a lot of things with people. I went to government school for 13 years. My wife went to go on to school for 13 years, and we're pretty antisocial. We don't do very much. We're at home. We work. She works from home. Rarely, she can go days without leaving the house.
Couple of things, Randy. Number one, I would not associate your son with Fauci in any additional calls to this show, or else you could run the risk of wrath from other callers. Just a helpful, friendly hint. And I'm just saying.
He's not a Fauci fan.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
No, he'll tell you he's the only anti-vax immunologist you'll meet.
Oh, my. Okay. I think I'm in love with your son. I think you need to put me in touch with your son so we can get him on the program if he's allowed to speak freely.
He would. He would. I asked him if he would ever be willing to talk to you on air. He said, sure, I'd love to.
You know, Randy, I think we should have him talk with Mike in Depew, because I have no doubt that Mike also has a PhD in virology and everything else. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Randy. The wind is starting to get into my headphones here, so I got to let you go. Thank you. Wow. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if we get a whole show out of this or anything, but do you know anybody who is super, super high IQ, but their lifestyle and their income is not commensurate with what you would think a high IQ person's should be? And I do believe, I stole this from Rochelle, that I will is more important in many ways than IQ. I'm not saying IQ isn't a factor in life. What I am saying is I have known and I have heard of people who are extremely brilliant, but who just didn't live up to the potential that they had. And I also know people who are extremely high IQ, like Cassandra, my first wife. Her first boyfriend was the number one guy at DARPA. And the guy is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely beyond brilliant. I was always jealous of that, actually. Let's go. He was so much smarter than you, Tom. Yes, I guess he was. Let's go to Cindy on WBEN. And so is Mike in Depew. He's absolutely brilliant. Cindy, hello.
Hi, Tom. I should probably preface my comments by saying that I was a special ed teacher in the public schools for 30 years, retired a couple of years ago. But I can see a few cons to being homeschooled. The first thing that comes to mind is that although students who have special needs are entitled to special services from their homeschool district, such as OT, PT, speech, resource room, they may or may not be provided during regular school hours or by the school district teachers. So they may be physical therapists, for example, who don't necessarily have a specialty in dealing with school-age kids. The other thing I wanted to mention was that I have a niece who was extremely shy, still is, and had some anxiety about attending public schools. Her mom decided to keep her at home and homeschool her. However, she's now in her mid-20s, and she kind of missed out on developing some social skills by being with other kids her age. And she really, even though she's out of school now, is still kind of struggling socially. She still is shy, but she really struggles with having friends and just being sociable.
Which may have been the case had she gone to a public school. Social anxiety disorder is something that a lot of people have. You're talking to somebody with social anxiety disorder. Did you know that? I mean, we got to label everything in society these days, but I'll be the first to tell you, I have social anxiety disorder. And the way you know that is when I walk into a crowded place, I need a minute or two to adjust to the energy of the room before I feel like socializing. I get paralyzed at first. And the worst thing, and I realized this when the day my grandfather died, Valentine's Day, 1969, my great aunt walked up to me and I absolutely panicked within 10 seconds. Oh, Tommy! Like, oh! And social anxiety disorder is a real thing. So we'll never know if she would have had it had she gone to public school. As far as special needs students, special needs encompasses a wide variety of scenarios. And in a lot of cases, believe it or not, the data show that special needs students do better in homeschool environments on average than those who go to public schools. I want to give you a chance to talk about this. And Cindy, as far as the special education situation, the data that I have show that the homeschooled children with learning disabilities often make greater progress in reading and math than peers with the same diagnoses in public schools because of individualized pacing and, of course, one-on-one attention, as well as tailored instruction by the parent or the specialist they may call in.
Okay. Two comments to your comments. Two responses to your comments. Resource room, Yeah, and I'm not putting down homeschooling in any way, shape, or form. I think it's great if parents want to do that. That's wonderful. But you mentioned resource room in particular. For kids who have other difficulties, speech problems, that sort of thing, I think having the availability of speech therapists and so on available during the school day in their school building is an advantage over having someone coming into the house at possibly not ideal hours. As far as the social anxiety is concerned, I agree with you. A lot of us have social anxiety. I have some myself.
Oh, I do.
But in my niece's case, she still, at the age of 26, whenever we're together at family functions or anything, cannot look at anyone in the eyes. And we're not talking about like an initial reaction where she needs to adjust a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're talking, we could be together for 2.5 to 3 hours and she won't say anything to anyone.
Well,
only to her mother.
You know, my dear, I do not mean to be out of line, but as far as the speech issues are concerned, again, mm-hmm. what I'm seeing is that the data suggest that the one-on-one attention in a low-pressure environment at home may actually be more beneficial than so-called speech therapy. And I'm sure that there are mm-hmm. all sorts of shades of gray. In terms of your niece, I don't mean to be out of line here, but if her anxiety is that severe, I really think she should talk to a therapist about that, because that's out of my pay grade. And I really think, you know, there may be a trauma in her background that we don't know about, and I wouldn't even want to speculate on the air, that maybe she needs to discuss with a therapist, because nobody in their 20s should spend the rest of their lives living that way. Are we in agreement on that?
I can agree with that. And again, I said I'm biased because I was a special ed teacher, but I went into special ed because I have a brother who's 5 years older than I, who went through the Kentown schools, and he's 75 now, and they didn't have special ed courses back then, so he was sort of socially pushed through and teased unmercifully, and that's why I went into special ed to begin with. And then my son, who we adopted when he was 6 months, also needed OT, speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and counseling. And I have to say, he did really well and worked his way out of all special ed services by the 11th grade. So
that's
he's
awesome.
Kind of a, yeah, it is awesome. He's a successful, productive member of society now. So I know there are stories in either direction.
By the way, I really appreciate when you said older than I, instead of older than me. I noticed that, and I applaud you for your grammatical correctness very much. But you sounds like you've got quite the interesting story and have had quite the fascinating life. And thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Sure.
And you were in the trenches. I'm just reading data points, and I'm not sure who's right, but I appreciate your input.
Sure.
Thank you, my love.
Thank you for hearing me out. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I just hope the niece, I really hope that she gets therapy, because you know what, you never know what people have in their backgrounds that might be impinging upon their ability to socialize. It might be something really benign, it might not be, but I don't think, does anybody think that therapy would hurt this situation? I don't think it would hurt, but look, I've got, you know, my social anxiety, again, it's very simple. I go into a place, I need a minute or two to adjust. And after that, I'm relatively okay. And one of the things that many of us find as we get older, that one of the surefire cures for social anxiety is tequila and weed. It is 27 minutes, not in that order, 527 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, news time. It's legal in New York State. Doesn't matter if I say that, right? Welcome. It is Bowerly, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 5:39. And welcome to the show. And if you're just joining us, remember those shows back in the 80s and 90s on homeschooling? I think I do vaguely. Marty Bineash might have them on tape somewhere. I'm not sure. But anyway, so with back to school in the news this week, I thought, you know what? this would be a really good time to find out about homeschooling, why you homeschool your kids. And as I've said a few times on today's program, if I had a kid today, I wouldn't send the kid to school. I would do anything I could to homeschool the child. And as far as mathematics, I'd bring somebody in as a consultant. That's what I'd do. But the other stuff I think I've pretty much got down. But mathematics at that level is a weakness. I openly admit that. But yeah, if you need somebody for history or Shakespeare, I'm your Huckleberry, man. I can do that for you. Should I be an educational consultant? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Those of you who were homeschooled, any regrets? Are you glad you did it? And the socialization thing is a non-starter. That was my big bugaboo about homeschool people was, aren't you going to raise your kids in an atmosphere where there's really not a lot of socialization? And the answer is the homeschool community is very big, so people socialize. And also, they play Little League. They play hockey. They do ponytail baseball. So socialization is not that big a deal. And the longitudinal data, that is to say, the information obtained over time from real people, is that people who are homeschooled do really well socializing. And obviously, there are going to be variations in that. There are variations in individuals. Somebody asked me, have you ever been formally diagnosed with social anxiety? You don't have to be formally diagnosed. If you know yourself, you know what's wrong with you. I mean, when I saw that wart, I knew exactly what it was. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Anybody laughing out there? Okay. Here are some more calls. Here's Olivia on WBEN. I love the name Olivia, maybe because of Law and Order, the Special Victims Unit. Olivia is in Alden. Olivia, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I was a little late to tuning into your program, but my dad was actually listening and encouraged me to give you a call and share a little bit of my experience with you.
Oh, your dad. For a minute, I thought you said your dog, and I thought, oh, do you have one of those buttons on the floor where your dog can talk to you? But your dad. Okay, got it. Roger that.
That would be pretty smart if it, no, my dad. But I was homeschooled from 2nd to 12th grade, and I guess a little bit of background. Both my parents are public school teachers at various schools within Western New York, so it was kind of a big, they were kind of scared, I think, at first to do it. Because they both had heard the stereotypes of homeschooled, you know, kids, and they didn't really want that for me and my siblings. But I was attending a private Catholic school at the time, and I was just becoming more, like, disinterested, very moody. And the main reason why I was sent to Catholic school was because my family is Catholic, and my parents wanted me to learn more about my faith, and they just didn't see it happening at the school I was at. So they, long story short, they ended up finding a local homeschool group in Western New York. We joined that. And overall, I think I had a really great experience, although I will say I have to give a lot of credit to my parents because I think they really pushed us to get out of our comfort zones. We participated in, like, debate societies, science fairs. We did presentations in front of other people. I had lots of friends that were my age, and then we'd be friends with their whole family. So you'd, you know, have friends that were younger and older. And then being homeschooled, like, we'd go out to the store in the middle of the day, so you get very comfortable interacting with adults and, you know, older people as well. Fast forward, I was able to go to college. Well, I had a pretty normal, I think, high school experience, too. I was able to go to, like, junior prom, and we also, through some of the local private schools, were able to participate in some, like, drama and musicals and things. And then I went to college, and I got my bachelor's in English, but then I decided I wanted to do something in medicine, so I landed up applying to medical school, and I graduated. I graduated in 2022, and I just finished my family medicine residency in June of this year. And I just started my first job, actually, in Western New York, so I moved back to the area. But I think the funniest part of all this is when I tell people that I was homeschooled, the best comment I get is, wow, really? I would have never known you're so normal. So I take that as a compliment. Oh. I think it's great.
But that shows an ignorance of homeschooling. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean that in a pejorative way. Most people are ignorant of homeschooling because of the way I think it has been portrayed in the media. I truly believe that. Olivia, are you board certified?
Yes, I am.
My goodness. Student loan debt under $300,000?
Currently, yes. It's a work in progress, but trying to keep that as low as possible.
That is outstanding. I am, like, seriously, I don't know you, but listening to your story and the fact that you are now a physician, I'm, like, so proud of you. This is one of the greatest stories I've heard.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you. I do have to give my parents the credit, though. I think if it was not for a lot of the sacrifices they made, I may not have turned out the same way.
Okay, during your residency, I don't think they were doing 36-hour days with 2 hours sleep.
Well, they listened to me cry on the phone for, you know, every once a week or so.
Good Lord. When you were doing your residency, do you care to tell us what your least favorite specialty was?
Oh, well, I chose family medicine because I liked a little bit of everything.
Hmm.
I will see GI can be a little iffy sometimes, gastroenterology.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of openings in that.
It's a great profession. We definitely need more good ones.
Indeed. Just out of curiosity, Dr. Olivia, and again, I am so happy for you. I'm so excited for you. This is one of the best stories I've ever heard in my life.
Aww.
A medical doctor who was homeschooled. You should be the poster spokesperson for homeschooling. I'm totally serious. This is incredible. But just a few things I want to find out. Now, one of the things about medicine, which is why I couldn't get into it, was it's obviously very chemistry driven. Did you have a background in chemistry in which you were homeschooled?
Well, my dad is a chemistry teacher, so I had some help from him.
Okay. And biology?
No, not so much. But I did do, there were different programs that I did in high school that kind of helped me. And I think the one that I did was partially online as well. So my parents helped me out, but then I had an online resource as well.
Instead of dissecting a frog in biology, did you dissect an actual human cadaver?
Thankfully, no, but I did have a frog. My dad was able to get some frogs.
Oh, that was, you know what, that's one of the memories I'd rather forget from high school, quite frankly. I'm sorry. It just felt like wanton, gratuitous cruelty to the poor frog. Anybody
I
remember
hear
those days? I'm just saying. So, this is really quite the story. And by the way, Dr. Olivia, did you happen to hear my verbal treatise earlier this week on dehydration?
Oh, I missed that one, but I'll have to see if I can find a recording or something.
It was, I think it might have been on Tuesday, the first part of the show, because Saturday. Now, keep in mind, I had not had a lot of sleep, number one. Number two, I was down with a very severe and nasty cold, COVID. And I was exhausted from traveling, and we went out to dinner. And the thing about dehydration that I have to stress to people, I'm somebody who drinks a lot of water and I do the electrolyte thing. Nonetheless, it hit like a ton of bricks so quickly, I couldn't believe it. One minute, I was A-okay. The next minute, I was on the floor and I knew it was dehydration because right after they put the saline into me, about half the bag got gobbled up by my body. I immediately felt better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how good you can feel after that. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you knew I was dehydrated because after two bags of saline, I did not have to pee, which is very unusual.
Wow.
So my body definitely needed it. So anyway, another question that in which I have an interest, I hope other people do as well. In medical school, did you receive enough education on nutrition?
No. I had a total of two classes, I think. Yeah, two classes on nutrition. I this is maybe not super related, but I had one class on vaccines as well.
What? One class on vaccines. You know, somebody told me a story from medical school a while ago that when it came to the training on vaccines, the instructor said, okay, we all agree that vaccines are good, right? Okay, moving on. And that was it. But
it was similar to my experience,
Yeah. See, I have a bit of an issue with that, but my big issue is with nutrition because in other parts of the world, a lot of time is spent on nutrition, and I happen to believe that a lot of the inflammatory processes in our bodies are caused by sugar and by seed oils and otherwise bad nutrition, and that people really don't know what or how to eat, and the food pyramid is upside down.
100% agree. Yeah, we definitely don't get enough formal training in that.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things out there. I mean, I like to watch the Bobby approved stuff. That is, to me anyway, it's very good information. And one of the guys on our trip to Europe is actually a local medical doctor. And we did talk a little bit about nutrition and about inflammatory processes and seed oils. And since I've totally limited seed oils from my diet, the inflammatory processes are much improved. I don't mean to talk shop with you. This is actually about you. It's not about me, but I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited that you are a medical doctor who is homeschooled. And what advice would you give to parents who are considering right now homeschooling their children instead of sending them off to government propaganda centers?
Well, I mean, from my experience, I had a great experience. I would recommend it for anyone. I would say my biggest advice is, you know, don't be afraid. There are a lot of resources out there. It just may take a little bit of extra time to find them. My parents were able to find them when they needed to. And, you know, they do exist. It just may take a little bit of digging. But if you can get connected to a good homeschool group, that was also very helpful for my family.
So what is your ultimate career goal?
Well, I'd like to stay in the Western New York area and just continue general family practice from beginning to end.
Wow. Well, you know, best of success to you. And I'm so seriously don't know you. I'm so happy for you and I'm so proud of you. And it's just delightful that you are one of our final callers on today's show because you are a fitting exclamation point to the program.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very kind of you. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And by the way, something about Olivia, did you notice the humility? Did you notice how humble she was? Now, you can't look, I'm sorry, a lot of doctors can be a little bit on the arrogant side. Not going to lie. They know it as well. She is so humble. She's so awesome. Here is talking about homeschooling. It's a follow-up show from something we did back in the 80s and the 90s. Here is Diane, who said I forget, Diane of Hamburg on WBEN, the hometown of Kathy Hochul. You're on WBEN, Diane. Welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think homeschooling allows you to really empower your child to have some direction in their learning. So it challenges them when they need to be challenged. And also if they need more time on something or if they have special challenges in learning, it allows you to work with them at their pace. So it really helps you to individualize. And I run a lot of different aerospace and invention events here and in Florida and around the country. And we get a lot of homeschoolers interested because it allows them to be challenged outside of the normal bounds of what a public school or private school would have.
Tell us all about your experiences.
With the Invention Convention is one thing that we have students come in and they're able to think of something that they want to invent and pitch it, kind of like Shark Tank. They get to pitch it to everyone at the Science Museum. And it really empowers them to learn how to communicate. Then we have various different challenges and competitions. Future Cities won. We have a small SAT conference that I do at Kennedy Space Center. We have a lot of people from UB and Buffalo come all the way down to Florida for that. But they get to meet people from NASA, from Space Force. And it's really empowering for people to be able to understand that even in high school, students can take college classes. They can have challenges and meet people that can really help them on their pathway for internships and future jobs. And I just want to thank you for doing this program.
Oh, it's been overdue. Quick question. Best way to teach critical thinking is how?
By having students analyze problems and letting them be creative, letting them not have to have those boundaries that a lot of times schools force them to have. Let them be creative and solve problems on their own.
And I would offer the suggestion that to teach critical thinking, start off with George Orwell's essay, Politics and the English Language. That is a great BS alert system.
Amen. And you and I knew each other from way back in the day around UB time. So it's great to listen to you and my kids listen to you and they love listening to you. So keep up the good work.
Now, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Diane. Hey, thanks, everybody, for all the calls. And one of the things that I want to cover Monday is vaccines. Did you hear what the state of Florida is doing? This is the Florida Surgeon General. Check this out.
The Florida Department of Health, in partnership with the governor, is going to be working to end all vaccine mandates in Florida law. All of them. All of them. Every last one of them is wrong and drips with disdain and slavery. Who am I as a government, or anyone else, or who am I as a man standing here now to tell you what you should put in your body? Who am I to tell you what your child should put in your body? I don't have that right. Your body is a gift from God. What you put into your body, what you put into your body is because of your relationship with your body and your God. I don't have that right. Government does not have that right. They want you to believe they have that right.
Just to be real clear, that was the Surgeon General of Florida and not New York State. Anyway, hey, thanks for all the calls. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for pitching a perfect game. Tom Puckett is coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News, 6 to 7, right here on News Radio 930 WBEN.